Happy Tuesday!
My name is Alan.
And my name's Nick.
And welcome
into the dungeon.
Once we get up the stairs, we'll be in a better position to decide. There's not much doing. We need to kill the dragon. Stand strong. Don't waver in the face of uncertainty. And believe in us. Believe in ourselves, in true shrubberies. We've been through a lot these past weeks. And it's all led up to this. I love you all. And I know you'll have my backs. As I have yours. As I said before, we shall go down in history as the saviors of Phandalin, Lylon, and the whole of the Sword Coast. We are intended for greatness, and this is where our legend starts. Are you all ready to face this vile dragon?
That I am, Shrew. Let's do this. Oh, we haven't come all this way to die, Shrew. Let's go down in history.
I've got a date with revenge. Let's do this.
For all the friends we've made. For all the lives that this dragon has taken. And for Betsy, let's go!
And I start running up the stairs, but then I realize, wait.
You wanted to do this quietly, yeah?
Let's go, but let's go quietly.
So you know what's going to come next then, as you run up the stairs.
Yes, stealth checks, right?
Yep, you're right. Blind stealth rolls.
Okay, before we head up though, I want to make sure I'm prepared. And I have a few potions we want to drink before the ascent.
Okay, you're going to share with our listeners what these potions are?
No. Just kidding, yes. I've got 4 potions of cold resistance. So one for me, one for Fenna, one for Morkob, and one for Fabian. I'm sorry, Caspus.
Oh no, poor Caspus.
Sorry.
Well, he's got fur.
Yeah. And I think I got these from Madabra, but I'm not quite sure anymore. And also I have the potion of enlarge, which I've been holding on to for quite a while now. And Fabian is going to drink that. That makes him one size bigger than he is, so he's now large, and it also makes his weapon large.
Oh yeah, we discussed this on last week's Into the Studio.
That's right, so he gets an extra...
one extra d4 damage.
That's right, for the weapon. So nice. I think this lasts 1d4, so if you want to roll, or shall I roll for it?
I'll roll for it, that way it's a secret for you. Although, I mean, I don't envisage the battle taking longer than an hour.
No.
Okay, I have the result.
And yes, of course, I also have the Oil of Sharpness that Neil kindly donated last episode.
Oh, just in time.
Yeah, and Fabian is going to apply that to his weapon, making it an epic weapon. I think now he'll be rolling with a plus 11.
Ooh.
Yeah, because the Oil of Sharpness gives you plus 3, I believe. Plus 3 bonus on attack and damage.
Yeah, that's correct.
Very good.
And then the damage is plus 3, plus 4... plus 1 from the magical weapon, and then an additional 3d6 as well.
Because of the dragon slaying, yeah. And the 1d4 because of the enlarge spell.
Yeah. Fabian. Fabian's a big boy now. Actually, he's so big, he's going to have to finish down this as he gets to the top of the stairs. Otherwise, he won't be able to fit through.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, maybe he'll leave that potion before he steps onto the balcony.
You sure this is the right one, Shrew? I'm not going to turn tiny again like in that forsaken place.
No. As far as I know, this is the one that makes you big. There's no time to mess around. Not now.
Good. Well, here goes nothing. I guess there's nothing left to do but meet our fate. Let's do this, Shrew Shrubberies.
With that, we start quietly walking up because we want to see what we find up there before engaging the dragon.
All right, let's do those blind stealth rolls then.
Here go my stealth rolls. Hopefully they're good.
Okay, roll again for Shrew, because you've got the advantage of those elven boots.
Okay, here we go.
Sorry, just to confirm your marching order.
I'll be going first, followed by Fabian, Fenna, Caspus, and the Murkub.
Okay, so Shrew's shrubberies begin their final ascent of Icespy Hold. As you make your way up the spiral staircase, you notice an unnatural cold blowing through this room and down the stairwell. Some of you are a little quieter than the others. As you get to the top, Fabian downs his potion, and as he grows in size and stature, his sword and shield start scraping against the stone walls and the stone floor. As you emerge into this room, which is an exact replica of the one that you've just come from downstairs, you notice that this is covered in a layer of snow and ice. It appears that this room, judging by the bed rolls on the floor, seems to have been the place where the kobolds, those lizard folk that you'd fought, had been using as their sleeping quarters. You notice that next to the fireplace, a small brown sack.
Are there any windows or anything in this room? Anything looking out to where the dragon could possibly be laying in wait?
Yes, there are a couple of arrow slits directly as you leave the stairwell. There's four that look out onto the roof of the fortress. And then in each of the corners, there's an additional three arrow slits that look over the mountainside.
Okay, we want to lay low just in case the dragon spots us. It'll be harder through the arrow slit, as I imagine the outside is narrower than the inside. But just in case, we want to hang low. I want to make my way up to the sack you mentioned.
Yep.
I want to do a quick investigation on it, just in case it's trapped or it's a trick from the kobolds or something like that.
All right, roll an investigation.
Okay, let's get these rolls out of the way. The poor rolls. It's a total of 6.
As far as you can tell, there's no trap on this sack.
I want to open it.
Inside you find 4 glass bottles with that familiar looking red liquid. These are 4 superior potions of healing. Inside you also find an assortment of coins, amounting to a total of 200 gold pieces.
Ooh, much needed for Adabra.
What do you found there, Shrew?
Well, some gold and, more importantly, 4 of these good potions. Have one each.
Oh, this could come in quite useful. What about the ballista? Where are we setting this up, Shrew? I think you said Fenner was going to man it.
Yes, I'm going to get closer to the arrow slits there, overlooking the hold. I want to see if I see the dragon. Then we can decide where we set up the ballista. If we can see it from any of these vantage points, it'll be useful. We'll be undercover.
So which arrow slit is Shrew going to go to?
Going to go to the one closest to the stairs. I'm going to crawl on the floor as I get close to it and slowly peek out from behind.
Okay, I'm going to roll a perception check. As you're peering through this first slit, you can see the top of the battlements, which are covered in a layer of frost, ice, snow, tundra. You also see an assortment of bones lying across, of all kinds. Give me a perception check.
17.
Even from this distance, you can tell that the bones belong to a number of different creatures. Some orc, some human, some animal. You see a skeleton that resembles a horse.
Damn you.
And with that perception roll, I'll say that you can see the reins on it, which you do recognize as those that were on poor old Betsy.
Damn it! Fuck.
Shrew, shut up!
Sorry.
Oh my god.
Sorry. I saw Betsy.
This poor Betsy thing again.
You don't understand. Anyway, I don't think he's seen me. Not yet.
Do I actually see him?
Well, as you stood there, the pinnacle of Icespy Hold, the chill bites deep, and the winds howl with an unearthly fury. As you look to your right, you find yourself face to face with a creature of nightmares. This beast of immense proportions, with its scales gleaming with an icy sheen, reflecting the pale light, almost as if it were a herald of death itself. You can see that its head has sort of cocked to the side. It's heard something. It doesn't seem to have seen you. As he stands, the ground trembles beneath his feet, a warning of the power that awaits you. The air grows heavy with the scent of frost and fear. You catch yourself feeling a shiver down your spine as you behold this creature before you. This addle white dragon looms like a mountain of ice. It spreads its wings wide, almost as if to blot out the very sky. Its eyes, these twin orbs of frozen malice, scanning for the sound that it's heard. You can see that each breath it takes sends forth a plume of icy mist, swirling and coiling around its massive form like a ghostly shroud.
I quickly duck down out of the slit.
Did you see it true?
Yeah, it's there, all right. Heard me shout.
Dog, I can't believe it. Don't worry. Just be quiet and then you shout out.
It's really loud outside. It's fine. If we whisper like this, it won't notice us. Don't worry. Take the ballista out.
Would I know if from any of those three slits we could target it with the ballista from here, seeing the position it was in?
You won't be able to hit it presently, but you do know that certainly two of them will be either side of it. And then the third one, you wouldn't be able to target it unless it moves in that direction. And the same with the fourth one. The fourth one literally looks over the cliff and down to the path below.
Okay, so
Fenna, set up the ballista here. In this first arrow slit, we will try to lure it across. As soon as you see it, fire. Remember, use the dragon ones. And remember the spell word, Fusroda.
Fusroda. True, you have the bag of holding with the ballista and
Yes, I know. I'll leave it all here. Just put your hand in and think of what you want and just pull it out.
Oh, all right. It's a big responsibility you place on me.
I'm placing this on you because you are the most responsible of all of us. I wouldn't have it any other way. Now, if you think you cannot target it from here, I'll leave it up to you. Use your initiative. And if you need to come outside, then do so carefully.
So you want me to fire the five Fusroda bolts first? You don't want me to use the other bolts?
Well, leave the Fusroda bolts in the event that it begins to fly away and we cannot target it. If I remember correctly, they will cast the entangle spell on the dragon and hopefully that will bring it down again.
All right, True. Caspus, stay with me.
Before we go out, Murkub, Avian, I, from here, I'm going to try and cast the polymorph spell. If I can turn him into an animal of sorts, something, I don't know what yet, we will rush outside and catch it. Do not hurt it. If we kill it in that form, it will revert back to its normal form. Think of what happens to me, for example, when I'm in bear form. So do not hurt it. Once we catch it, I want to cast Geash on him and ask him not to use his deadly breath on us. Hopefully that would make our fight easier.
I hope so, sure. I'm ready.
1 second. If the polymorph spell does not work,
then what may?
Well,
we rush him.
We won't have much other choices than to rush him. But perhaps let's exhaust everything I have. I have these beads. I would probably throw them from a safe place before we actually rush him. Once I fired those, it's all out.
And by the beads, I mean the necklace I had. I still have a few beads left.
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
Which were 4 in total left. So, yeah, see how it goes. Okay, this time I want to get up onto the second slit from the door. And I want to try and cast Polymorph.
As you make your way up to the arrow slit, you start peering through. And you see this dragon again. You can see that he's still looking around suspiciously. Somewhat alert. Whilst you're doing this, Fenna has deployed the ballista and she's taken out the bolts and lined them up carefully against the wall, ready to load and take a shot at this dragon. Alright, here we go. Cast your polymorph.
Well, it needs to make a saving throw.
Okay, so it has to make a what save again, sorry?
It must make a wisdom saving throw.
Alright, here we go then. That's a total of 19.
Duh! Yeah. It saves.
Intruders.
Gonna need you to roll for initiative.
Ooh, damn. Okay, not bad. 20 for Shrew.
Ooh, look at Shrew go.
17 for Fenna. Caspus shares the same initiative, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
16 for Fabian, and 16 for Murkub.
Who do you want to go first between Murkub and Fabian?
I'll let Fabian go first.
Alright, so after the dragon calls out to the intruders, I can now reveal that True will be at the top of the initiative round, followed by Fenna, Caspus, Fabian, Murkub, and then the Adelwhite Dragon.
Okay, this might be stupid, and it might be a total waste of another 4th level spell slot, but I'm going to try and cast Polymorph again. Let's see what this does.
Here we go. Oh, natural 20.
Oh my fucking god!
Oh,
stop rolling. Oh, stop rolling like that. Not now.
Oh my god.
Damn it.
I mean, the first roll wasn't that high. He just had, what do you call it, proficiency on saving throws. So, yeah, 20
on
plus.
On all saving throws?
No, on that one.
Oh.
Perhaps others, but you will find out as the battle progresses.
Okay, so that's my turn. I then hop off the slit and run towards the exit. That would take me to where the dragon is waiting.
That takes you in between Fabian and Murkub.
Yeah, I'll stay there for now.
You see this 30-foot sphere of swirling winds lifting up snow and bits of ice from the floor, encircling the dragon.
Wow. What, just now?
Yeah. It's now over to Fenna.
Fenna, I imagine, loaded up the ballista before I did the polymorph.
Yeah, she's got one normal bolt ready to go.
Okay, she's going to hold her action to fire that bolt if the dragon comes into view. I imagine that perhaps that the wind that's now surrounding the dragon might steer the bolt off course, but we got to test it out.
All right, then it's over to Caspus, assuming he's doing anything.
No, Caspus is staying there.
Then it's over to big boy Fabian.
Does Fabian see the dragon from here?
No, he does not.
You might see the effects he just brought up, right?
He can hear the swirling of the wind, but he can't see anything from where he is right now.
Okay, then, remembering what Shrew said about waiting for him to throw those beads, he's just going to wait there. He'll hold his action ready if, in case anything comes close to him, he can attack it. That's all.
Right, Shrew. I'm waiting for you to throw those damn fireballs. Let's do this. So over to Murkub.
Murkub, hearing and seeing Fayun, is going to do exactly the same. And at his scimitar, ready for anything that comes up to him.
We got your back, Shrew, mate. Let's do this.
It's now over to the ice dragon. From where Shrew shrubberies are at the moment, you can't see anything. Not even Fenna, who's behind the ballista. But you hear this almighty roar and the flapping of wings as the ground beneath you starts to tremble. It's now over to the top of the round with Shrew.
I'm going to exit the door, the room we're in, onto the terrace, and peek out from behind the wall or the stairwell.
As you step outside, you realize that this terrain that's covered in snow and ice is difficult. So you get to the corner of the external wall of the stairwell you've just ascended, and from here you can catch a glimpse of the dragon now 30 feet up in the air.
I also see that whirlwind around him, right? What is it exactly that I'm seeing?
These strong winds, swirling sleet, snow and ice around him.
Okay, I want to make kind of a, don't know if it's an investigation, a perception or something like that. I want to try to figure out, and if it's my action, then it's my action, but I want to try and figure out how strong they are, and if I would throw something to it, let's say the beads from the necklace, would those get swept away?
Give me a nature check.
18.
You can tell that any projectiles that get thrown into this whirlwind will be done with disadvantage.
Okay, so then I just get back into the hold just at the entrance. And once there, I just want to hold my action. And if I see an opportunity where it perhaps drops whatever's surrounding it, I want to rip off the necklace and throw it directly at him.
Okay, so unbeknownst to Shrew and his shrubberies, that whirlwind has dissipated. But a freezing fog fills a 20-foot radius sphere centered on a point right at the corner of where Shrew had just been peeking out of. This fog starts to spread around all corners, for every nook and cranny, and this area is now heavily obscured. I'm going to need Shrew to take a constitution saving throw.
14.
Shrew takes 6 cold damage, which, with your potion of cold resistance, is half down to 3. And on that note, it's over to Fenna.
Does Fenna see the dragon?
Nope, it has not moved.
But does she see it, I mean? She's obscured as well by the effect that obscured Shrew's vision.
Yep, that window has now been obscured.
He's just gonna hold again and, with the bolt readied, wait to see if she gets a glimpse of the dragon and fire.
Well, her vision currently is blocked entirely through that sphere. She can't see anything right now.
She's just gonna wait to see if whatever's affecting her visuals dissipates and see what happens. She's just going to hold her action. If she sees the dragon for any reason, she's going to fire at it.
All right. Then it's over to Caspus, then Fabian, then Murkub. What are Shrew Shrubberies doing?
The same as before, they're just holding the turn. They're not, I mean, they're not going to run across an open area with a flying dragon. So they're just going to stay there for now. Holding their action, in case they see anything come up to them, they want to attack.
All right. Then it's over to this adult-sized dragon. Shrew and his shrubberies can't see anything at the moment, but the ceiling above you starts to creak and groan as you feel this shudder. The very walls around you shake with ferocity. Do you get the sensation that this beast perhaps is above you now? And on that note, we're at the top of the round, back with Shrew.
I don't really see anything right in front of me.
Nothing. Your vision is completely obscured.
Okay, then I turn back. I know that the door is behind me, and I walk in to the hold.
Do not go into that weird mist. It hurts you. It's too cold.
Tricksy dragon.
We'll have to stay here for now. It seems like it's above us.
So Shrew's holding his action with the necklace again?
Yep, if he sees an opportunity to throw it at it without that weird whirly thing around him, he will do so.
It's now over to Fenna. Her vision is restored as this fog has dissipated, but she can't see anything. The dragon's not there anymore.
He's gonna hold and wait for the sight of the dragon.
Then it's over to Fabian and Murgob.
Same, they're just going to hold it. And if they have an opportunity to attack with a sword and scimitar, they will do so.
True shrubberies are hearing the ceiling and the walls quake and rumble around them.
Cowards like lambs hiding in the shadows. Come out and face the mighty Cryoane! I await you, intruders.
It's back over to Shrew.
I imagine I heard his voice.
You most certainly did.
If I step out, do I have an indication up to where his location is?
I mean, from the voice and from the rumblings that you're hearing in this room, he sounds like he's directly above you.
And would I know if the walls are low enough to where I can see it if I exit?
I mean, given the bulk of this creature's size, you know that he's not going to be able to hide behind those parapets.
And how high are the walls from what I see inside?
You know these are about 20 feet high.
All right, then I exit just outside the hold, the exit to the hold. I want to turn around. Do I see the dragon?
Yes, you see this bulk, this mountain of ice stood there looking at you. Breaks a smile as it opens its maws.
You are the one flying around! Get down here and fight like a true dragon!
And I rip my necklace off and chuck it at him.
This is all four beads?
All four beads at once, yeah. This would be a fireball at level 6. He needs to make a dexterity saving throw.
Alright, here goes. Dexterity saving throw for the dragon. It's a total of 12.
Oh, he doesn't save.
No, he does
15.
Not.
15.
Roll for damage.
Okay, if we're not wrong, that's 11d6. Damage.
Can feel the power of your dice.
Let's go. That's a total of 35 damage.
Not too shabby. This necklace strikes the dragon. I mean, it's difficult to miss him from here, given his size. They explode on impact, engulfing him in flames as he takes that 35 fire damage.
Oh, it's on.
Is Shrew doing anything else?
As a bonus action, I want to turn into a giant eagle.
All right.
And with my flying movement, I want to fly towards where Fenna is pointing a bolt.
How high is Shrew flying?
Slightly above the arrow slit. And then if I make it over, I want to swoop down once I pass the arrow slit to be more or less on level with Fenna's vision, but not in front of a range. And I want to be as far right, but still over the hold as I can.
Okay, that takes you then to hovering just above the remains of poor old Betsy.
Do I have enough movement to land?
Yes, you do.
I shall land then.
Okay. Is that the end of Shrew's turn?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to need Eagle Shrew to give me a constitution saving throw.
Total of 7.
Driving sleet falls in a 40-foot high, 20-foot radius cylinder centered on Shrew. Shrew is now blinded.
Okay.
The sleet and wind and snow obscuring his eyes. Shrew can't see anything. So it's Fenna. She's just seen Shrew fly by, and now she can see all the sleet swirling around. She can see giant eagle Shrew closing his eyes, looking around rather confused. Oh, Shrew! Shrew!
She's just gonna hold, hope to see the dragon fly past her.
Then it's over to Caspus, Fabian, and Murkub. Are they just holding their action, or are they doing something this round?
They will hold their action. If at any point any enemy gets close to them, they want to use their weapons to attack. Fabian is holding his shield for now, by the way.
Okay, so it's over to the dragon then. Shrew can't see anything, but Fabian, Murkub, Caspus, and Fenna again hear the walls shake and the ceiling rumble as they can hear this monstrous beast crawling above them. Although Shrew can't see it, the dragon starts to inhale deeply, its chest expanding as it draws in a lungful of frigid air. With an ear-splitting roar, it exhales a cone of pure, blinding ice. This wave of freezing breath races forwards towards Shrew, crystallizing everything in its path, leaving behind a frozen wasteland. I'm gonna need Shrew to take a constitution saving throw.
Natural one.
Oh, but you can't roll natural ones.
Yeah.
Will it be the yin and yang?
No, not much better. 13 total.
Alright, so that still fails. Shrew's gonna take the brunt of 12d8. That's a total of 65 cold damage. Half down because you've got your potion of cold resistance.
Okay, so Shrew drops the eagle form and is back to Shrew.
How's Shrew looking? Because some of the damage will have carried over to Shrew's normal form, yeah?
Yeah, the moment that was only an extra 6 damage.
Not too bad then, not too bad. It's incidentally now the top of the round, and that means it's over to Shrew. And Shrew will be relieved to learn that he is no longer blinded.
I want to back up from the dragon a bit, a few feet, as much as I can. I think as it's difficult terrain, I can only move 10 feet anyway.
That's correct.
So I do that, and I'm going to call lightning as a level 4 spell. So that's my last level 4 spell. A storm cloud appears in the shape of a cylinder that is 10 feet tall with a 60-foot radius. It is centered on a point I can see 100 feet directly above me. When I cast the spell, I choose a point you can see within range. It's 120 feet, the range. A bolt of lightning flashes down from the cloud to that point. Each creature within 5 feet of the point must make a dexterity saving throw. A creature takes 3d10 lightning damage on a failed save, or half as much damage on a successful one. On each of my turns, until the spell ends, I can use my action to call down lightning in this way again, targeting the same point or a different one. If I were to be outdoors in stormy conditions, then I would add an extra d10. So it's 3d10, but as I cast it as a level 4 spell, it would be 4d10 damage.
Okay, this 60-foot radius cylinder literally covers the entire battle map.
So the point at which I want the lightning bolt to strike would be just beside the dragon, really. It doesn't really matter at this point because there's no one around him. He needs to make a dexterity saving throw.
All right, here we go. That's a 13 plus 5 for a total of 18.
Yeah, he saves, so he takes half damage. That's 20 halved to 10 damage.
The dragon takes note of that particular attack. He looks hurt and quite pissed.
I like it. I'm coming for you, little lamb.
Is Shrew doing anything else?
No, he's staying there for now.
So over to Fenna, Caspus, Fabian, and then Murkub. What are Shrew Shrubby's doing?
Fenna keeps doing the same thing.
Oh, Shrew, I can't see the dragon, Shrew.
He's getting a bit frustrated, but for now she's holding strong and hoping to see a glimpse of the dragon soon. Caspus will stay with Fenna. Fabian will rush out now, after seeing Shrew let go of those beads and then turn into the eagle. He wants to exit and see what he finds.
He can see this colossal dragon perched upon the rooftop, staring down menacingly at Shrew.
You said that the walls were 20 feet high. Is that scalable for a large creature like Fabian is now?
Yep.
Is he close enough, or does he have any movement that he can use, or would it be an action to scale the actual wall?
Climbing is considered part of movement, so if Fabian dashes, because he's already used all his movement presence, he'll be able to scale the wall, but he will require a climb check.
He's going to do that.
All right, give me an athletics check then. Because you are enlarged, that would be with advantage.
All right. 23 total.
Oh yeah, Fabian can climb up without any difficulties.
Does he have any movement left to get closer to the dragon?
He can get right up to the dragon.
Fabian the fearless. Or the stupid. But that there is his turn.
All right. Before we move over to Murkub, the dragon, seeing Fabian come right up to him, whips its tail, one that's sinuous and encased in an icy sheath. He swings it through the air with precision and menace, almost like a battering ram, ready to deliver bone-crushing impact, which could leave Fabian gasping for breath and frostbitten from the sheer force of the blow. Yeah, that hits. That's 11 bludgeoning damage on Fabian.
Oh, fucking beast! Oh, bring it on!
It's over to Murkub.
Murkub follows Fabian again, rushes out, sees Fabian going toe-to-toe with the dragon, uses his orcish aggression to dash towards the dragon, following Fabian's lead and trying to climb up the wall.
All right, give me an athletics check for Murkub.
That's a total of 16.
Yeah, Murkub climbs up with ease.
Good. Does he get up to the dragon?
Yeah, he's got enough movement with his bonus. Murkub can get right beside Fabian. He hasn't got enough movement to flank this beast, though.
No worries. He's still gonna attack, though, with the scimitar of wounding.
All right, then, roll to attack.
21 to hit.
That does hit.
Yes. That's just 1d6, but slowly but surely, we are starting to wound this dragon. That's a total of 8 damage.
Right, here comes the constitution time. Yeah, that's an easy save with a total of 25.
Oof, okay. So he isn't wounded.
No, he's not. This dragon, having been bitten by the steel of Murkub's scimitar, unfurls its immense wings with the sound of a crackling glacier. A torrid of frigid air, sharp as 1,000 needles, streams forth, lashing at Murkub and Fabian. I'm going to need Fabian and Murkub to give me a dexterity saving throw.
Yeah, perhaps getting so close together to one another wasn't that good of an idea. But hey, we need to attack it somehow. Fabian, it's a 16 and Murkub is an 11.
Okay. Both take 11 bludgeoning damage.
Oof.
And both are knocked prone.
Damn.
So on that note, it's now over to the addled white dragon as part of its turn proper. Its attention is turned, seeing these two assailants lying prone on the floor. Its breath starts to take its form as it inhales, causing the air around him to shimmer with frozen particles as it releases up a pent cold beam of absolute zero, which sweeps forth from its maws, turning everything it touches into a nightmarish landscape of agony. I'm going to need Murkub and Fabian to give me a constitution time.
Okay, here goes. 6 for Fabian and 13 for Murkub.
Unfortunately, both fail. They take 49 cold damage, half down to 24. Just to clarify, that's half down because of your potion of cold resistance. Fabian's down to just 9 hit points. Murkub is down to 14. Seeing both of these foes lying on the floor, covered in frost, it's then going to use its movement to start moving towards Shrew. As it flies by, Fen is going to have an opportunity to shoot at this colossal beast.
That's a 12 to hit.
As she fires the bolt, having been nervously waiting, her nerves have got the best of her, as she mistimes the release and misses the dragon. The dragon continues on its flight and comes down right in front of Shrew, who can feel the ground tremble as its colossal weight makes contact with the floor. That's the end of the dragon's turn, and now it's over to Shrew.
Shrew, realizing that the dragon is slightly out of Fenner's firing range, is going to move around the dragon towards Fenner's firing range. Then, using my action, I'm going to call lightning again, right behind the dragon.
All right. That saves. It's a 19 plus its dexterity, which would be, for this purpose, a plus 5. So 24.
That's 28 halved to 14. I would now like to use my bonus to shapeshift into a giant constrictor snake.
Feeling that crack of lightning, the dragon recoils its tail with an eerie grace and releases it with a deafening crack, sending it hurtling towards Shrew. It's a total of 13 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
I thought I was going to miss.
If I would have been Shrew, I would have missed, but... The constrictor snake only has 12 AC.
It's a total of 11 bludgeoning damage on Shrew.
Okay, I need to roll a concentration check to see if I drop the core lightning thing. I do it with advantage though, because I have the warcaster feat. Alright, watch me roll a 2 and a 3. Well, I rolled a 1, which I can't roll, so I'll do that again. 11.
Just saves.
That was close. Good thing I rolled with advantage.
So it's a Fenna then.
Fenna is starting to get fed up. She can't see anything from there. Would it take an action for her to fold the ballista and run with it in its smallest form?
Yeah, it takes an action to get it back into package size.
And then an action to reopen it.
That's correct.
She's going to do that then. She's going to package it up and then use her movement to go to the entrance as far as she can get. Or the exit. The exit to this hold, this little shelter here.
That gets her just to the entrance or the exit, depending on how you're looking at this.
Keishi will be staying there.
Then it's over to Fabian and then Murkub, who are both lying prone and both looking rather worse for wear, with 9 and 14 hit points, respectively.
Fabian is going to use his movement to get up. He doesn't have much more movement left, seeing as he has to jump down anyway to start making his way to the dragon. But he's going to move away from Murkub a bit, just in case the dragon decides to use his breath again. And he's going to use one of his actions, which in our homebrewed kind of rules means that it's full healing, to drink a potion. A potion of superior healing, the one we found inside the hold.
Alright, so that's a total then of 8d4 plus 8.
That would be a total of 40 healing then.
When I get that feeling, I got potion of healing.
Potion of healing.
It hasn't been a singing episode, this one, really.
No, it's been far too tense so far.
Yeah.
Fabian's almost back up to full health with 49 out of 55.
Alright. That would be his turn then. He stays there. There's nothing much he can do.
What about Murkub then?
Murkub. Copycat Murkub, because he's just following Fabian's cue, is going to do exactly the same. Get up, move away from Fabian, drink the potion that he got from inside the hold.
What direction is Murkub moving from Fabian here?
I'd say north. I'd say up.
Murkub is back up to full health.
That's great.
Is Murkub using any bonus actions here?
Oh, that's right. He could have used his bonus action to get closer to the dragon. In retrospect, he wouldn't have moved up away from Fabian. Instead, he would have moved down towards the dragon and then used his bonus with his orcish aggression to get closer to the dragon still.
Alrighty then. So we're to the dragoon. You want to do the honors or you want me to do it again?
Nah, you do it, because I don't want to know what you roll. I want it to be a surprise. Does he have the breath? Doesn't he have the breath? Am I screwed? Am I not screwed?
Okay, here we go. This dragon opens its maws.
Oh, I'm screwed.
And clamps down on Snake Shrew.
Oh, no. You failed then.
Yep.
Yes. Well, let's see what this bite does. It might be worse than the breath.
That's a total of 27 to hit.
Oh, yeah, that hits.
Shrew takes 16 points of piercing damage and 2 of cold damage, which has already been half down for you.
Oof, half life left for the giant constrictor snake Shrew.
And then with a chilling hiss, this massive dragon extends its razor sharp claws towards Shrew, each claw almost as long as a man's arm, and it glistens with a layer of frost. Its icy talons tear through the air, leaving a trail of frozen mist in its wake, before slashing towards Shrew.
Stupidly, I thought he was done. Obviously not.
No. Not yet. That's 24 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
Okay, that wasn't great. Total of 10 slashing damage on Shrew. And he follows up with another claw attack. Which also hits. We've just realized that with that plus 11, basically everything will hit. So it's just a matter of whether it's a critical or not.
Yeah, my armor class is 12.
You'd be relieved to know that it was not a critical. Ooh, that snake eyes for minimum damage. Total of 8. And that's the end of this dragon's turn.
That dragon hits. I'm down to 13 HP from 60. Just literally turned into the snake right now.
Wow. Perhaps there should have been a potion of wild shape somewhere.
Oh yeah, that would have been good.
So after those three attacks, I'm going to need True to give me a constitution save for each of them, just to see whether his core lightning spell remains standing.
Okay, and a reminder, that's with advantage. So the first one saves with a 13 plus 2, 15. Second time I save as well. I rolled a 17 and a 16. This has to be above a 10. And yeah, the third one, 15 and 14, I save too.
Nice. All right then, to the top of the round, my service is true.
I'm going to use a bonus action, and I want to expend one of my spell slots. I'll do it as a level 3, and I can regain 1d8 hit points per level of the spell slot expended.
Okay, go for it.
That's a total of 14 healing.
How's Shrew looking now then, Snake Shrew?
Slightly below half HP with 27. Okay then, the huge constrictor snake is going to use its action to try and constrict the dragoon.
You want to remind our listeners and myself what that does?
Well, basically, if I hit it, it would take bludgeoning damage, 2d8, and the target, in this case a dragon, would be grappled. Until this grapple ends, the creature is restrained.
Okay, then roll for attack.
16 to hit.
Does not hit.
Damn it.
Oh, dear me. Is Shrew doing anything else, or is that the end of his turn?
That's the end of his turn.
This freezing fog again appears surrounding Shrew. The area is heavily obscured. You can't see out of this. Gonna need you to give me a constitution saving throw.
6.
It's a total of 3 cold damage. That's already been half down for you. You need to give me a constitution saving throw as well for your concentration.
Yeah, that's an 18.
Shrew is well concentrated here. Is Shrew using any movement?
If I'm obscured, would the dragon see me as I slip away? Would he be able to attack me as a reaction?
No, he would not see you because it's heavily obscured.
Then knowing where I was and where the dragon is and expecting Fenna to still be in position to fire, I move slightly away to try and get the dragon in Fenna's, what I think Fenna's fire ranges. I probably move closer to Murkub as well, as I saw him charge towards the dragon, to try and close the gap if the dragon does decide to follow me.
True takes an additional 5 cold damage, which has been half down already. It's another constitution save for Snake Shrew.
Yeah, that's a 21. That saves the concentration.
Nice. Then it's over to Fenna.
Fenna is going to run out. Does she see anything when she stops?
She sees Murkub and that swirling mist that obscures everything. She can't see the dragon. She can't see Shrew.
Okay, she wants to duck behind the wall if she can. Where she is, she wants to mount the ballista. Not loaded yet, so it takes an action to mount it, right?
That's correct.
So she presses the button and mounts the ballista.
Very well. Is Casper's following her, or is Casper staying put?
Casper's knows to stay put. Then I would have it no other way.
Then it's over to Fabian.
If Fabian is able to see part of the dragon...
Yeah, he can.
He's gonna use his action to dash towards it. He really, really, really wants to test out his dragon slain sword on an actual dragon.
After all these episodes. Okay, so you're at the edge of this roof. It will be 20 feet to climb down. I'm going to give you an option here. Do you want to climb down and lose those 20 feet? Or do you want to jump down and risk an acrobatics check and gain those 20 feet of movement?
If I fail the check, is it prone and then possible damage?
Yep.
And it's 1d6 damage for every 10 feet, right? Or the first 10 feet is...
The first 10 feet is free.
Okay.
And then it would be 1d6 of damage.
Okay, so a possible d6 of damage, and then...
I'm prone.
I'm prone, which means I lose half my movement anyway. So I mean, I don't know, sweeten the deal a bit. I don't feel it's fair. I might lose quite a bit here and gain very little, 20 feet of movement only.
I know you like a gamble. So I'll say, to sweeten the deal a bit, because you're running towards the dragon... And you're getting a running start. I'll say you gain 10 feet of movement by jumping. And if you succeed, you'll do one of those Link rolls from Legend of Zelda, and you'll be able to use that momentum to carry on running.
All right, I'll take it. But is this athletics or acrobatics?
This would be acrobatics because you're trying to keep your balance.
Here we go. What's the DC? We don't know.
I'll tell you now. Oh no. I was really rooting for you here. But that nervous laugh tells me...
Yeah, it's a five total.
Total of five. In his eagerness, Fabian leaps. And still not accustomed to his enlarged size, makes a botched attempt at the roll, and he falls prone.
It's a good thing Shrew is currently obscured.
He'll never hear the end of this.
He hasn't seen it.
Fabian takes three bludgeoning damage. Not too bad. And is prone, so he's lost 15 feet of movement, but he's now at the bottom of this wall.
Disastrous.
I'm still going to say that you managed to leap the 10 feet from the edge before falling prone.
Oh, the DM is benevolent.
And then you've got 15 feet left, which through difficult terrain will only get you there.
Okay, but I can still use my action, right? To dash?
Yes, you can.
Well, I do that. Damn this terrain, man. It's slowing us down.
So it's over to Murgub, who, from his position, cannot see the dragon yet.
Okay, but I feel that Murgub, having seen the dragon before that kind of mist appeared, would know its general direction, and also seen Fabian running towards something, can imagine that it's towards the dragon, right?
Yep.
So then Murgub is just going to follow Fabian, as he's been doing all fight, and see how far he can go. If at some point he sees the dragon, then he'll use his orcish aggression to get as close as possible.
Okay, so his 30 feet of movement does take him to a position where he can see the dragon, and then with his 30 feet bonus orcish aggression, can get within fighting range.
Good, then when he reaches fighting range, he's going to slash at the dragon, occupied with Snake Shrew, with his scimitar of wounding.
Alright, roll to attack.
That's an 11 total?
Yeah, that does not hit.
Okay, that's his turn then.
The dragon, seeing that Murgub has just tried to slash at him, beats its wings, almost like summoning an arctic tempest that surges towards Murgub and Fabian. Biting winds and shards of ice tear through anything that's in its path, leaving a trail of destruction. I'm going to need Fabian and Murgub to give me a dexterity saving throw.
The dummies ended up bunching together again. 15 for Murgub, 5 for Fabian.
Both Murgub and Fabian take a total of 16 bludgeoning damage and are knocked prone. It's over to the dragon then. I'm going to roll to see whether his dragon breath is recharged. The dragon, seeing Murgub lying prone on the floor at his feet, is going to take a bite at him. Yeah, that definitely hits. A total of 27. Murgub takes 13 slashing damage and an additional 1 cold damage, which has already been half down. Seeing this orc lying pitifully at his feet and remembering with pleasure at the number of orcs that Cryovane decimated when he first arrived, I'm going to follow this up with a claw attack. That was with advantage. Both would have hit anyway. No crits there. That's a total of 11 damage on Murgub. Murgub is not looking good. He's down to 8 HP. The dragon's going to follow this up with his second claw attack. Again, no crit, but it definitely hits. That's a total of 13 damage. In the heart of this relentless blizzard, the icy winds howl like vengeful spirits as this dragon prowls its domain, its scales shimmering with an ethereal sheen as it reflects the harsh glare of the blizzard. Beneath its vengeful gaze, it stares at Murgub, lying helpless on the floor, bleeding profusely from its previous attacks. With a deafening roar, the dragon unfurls its massive wings, casting a shadow over Murgub. And with a swift, calculated movement, it lashes out, its talons slicing through the air with a lethal precision. Murgub lies there futilely, with no options to defend himself, as the dragon's onslaught on him is relentless. With a thundering crash, its claws find its mark, tearing through Murgub and sending him sprawling across the snow. Murkub's blood starts to mingle with the pristine white landscape as he lies battered and broken, consciousness slipping away with each labored breath. The dragon towers above his fallen prey and looms like a specter of death. The storm rages on, and Murgub teeters on the brink of oblivion, his fate hanging in the balance between life and the eternal slumber that awaits him in these frozen wastes. And that's what we're going to call the session.
Murkov, the first one to fall.
Was there any doubt?
Come on.
He's not dead yet, though.
No, no, but things are starting to get really ugly.
That they are, my friend. That they are. So there you have it, the first part of this epic showdown between Shrew Shrubberies and the dragon of Icespire Peak.
This is tough.
It's been tense. It's been quite strategic and quite calculating, particularly in those first early rounds. And hopefully, like us, you can't wait to see how Shrew Shrubberies fare in this epic fight to the death. But if you can't wait...
Wait, what do you mean, to the death? To the death of who? The dragon or us?
Well, you know, from
Dingle you're rooting for you're rooting for the dragon, right?
I was rooting for Shrew Shrubberies.
Yeah, for sure.
I am rooting for Shrew Shrubberies. They are the heroes of our tale. But alas, I am the one that's controlling this dragon. And you know from Dingle Dick's book that he's not one to shy down from a fight. And that he will not flee. He will literally fight till his dying breath. Be it his or the last member of Shrew Shrubberies. But if you can't wait a whole week to see how our heroes fare in this tense and epic fight, don't forget to visit www.i2td and follow the links there to our social media feeds, our Discord channel, and our Buy Me a Coffee page. When in exchange for a one-off donation, you can provide Shrew Shrubberies with a potion, which will appear in-game, or you can make a purchase from our shop, although at this point it might be difficult to have it appear in this story at present. But usually this is an opportunity for you to be a part of the stories we tell and shape the adventures we play. So unless we do this like a Hunger Games drop-in where a little balloon, like Animal Crossing, sort of floats over Icespire Hold, maybe with a message from Adabra or certainly not Harbin.
Bit far stretched. We'll leave it for the next campaign, maybe.
Yeah, but whilst you're there, why not join one of our membership tiers and get access to our bonus exclusive episodes of Into the Studio.
Yeah, but if you can't donate or wish not to, do not worry, you can still help us out tremendously by liking our stuff, leaving us a review, maybe in YouTube, maybe in one of your podcast players of choice. You know, telling your friends and family about us. Share the good word of Into the Dungeon. And that will help us tremendously. So if you do that, thank you very much. And that swiftly takes us to the end of the episode club, The Last Ones Standing, where we give you a password. You use said password in a comment section or in Discord where we frequent, and then we decide who is the winner, the best one, the one that makes us laugh more, or maybe, I don't know, makes us think, or the most witty one. We decide, we tend to change criteria, but we'll decide which one's the best one, and the best one will win for that week, and your comment will go down in the annals of history. You shall be known for that week as El Quillo Masferadar.
All hail El Quillo Masferadar.
Hail. So Nick, do you have a password for us this week?
I sure do. This week's password is Freeze the Day.
Clever.
Because Shrew Shrubberies are trying to seize the day, and they have borne the brunt of a couple the ice attacks now.
Very good, I like it. So there it is, Freeze the Day. So use it as part of your comment somewhere. So anyway, I think that's all for today. So we bid you farewell until we see you next time as we delve
into the dungeon.
Estoy cagado, tío. In this room, anything looking out to where the dragon could possibly be?
If it drops to 0 hit points,
it takes damage.
Once it has the polymorph spelong.
Spelong. Oh, tasty little lambs come to the slaughter. I smell sausage. Oh my god, son of your swamba.
Okay.
Soy temblando, ¿eh?
Yo también.